time, Bears fans. Another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, John Yurkovich in the building. The good kid is here.
How you feeling, good kid?
Good.
You good?
Yep.
Yeah, Friday, a little weekend action. What you got coming up on the weekend?
Oh, I just met college basketball.
Yeah.
March Madness is college basketball. A little simulator action. I'll be getting some golf balls in the simulator.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 76 out, but I still got to finish up some of the commitments that I made for the earlier in the year. So we'll find a way to get that done, get it done, get it completed. Not have to play indoor golf anymore. It's getting to the point where we can play some outdoor.
Get some outdoor golfing. Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait. You recovered from a night of Chicago sports action. A great night of sports action.
Yeah, just in period. General. Right. Great night of sports action. The Bulls, nice finish. The Texas Tech game.
Yeah.
Last night against Arkansas. The Cooper Flag performance, which was top notch for Duke. Florida. Did enough to what they had to do to go ahead and win the game by double digits. So, yeah.
Cubs game to finish tonight was phenomenal.
Cubs play.
No, Cubs did play. Did you not get to see that?
I don't. Listen, if it's on Chisholm or whatever, it's on.
Oh, darn.
No, Marquee. If it's on Marquee, I don't pay.
All right. That's tough.
You want to put yourself somewhere special because you think you're special? Then go there. I don't have to follow you.
At least be special.
I'll watch the highlights.
Yeah.
I don't need to see the lowlights. I'll watch the highlights.
You can get like a full 9-inning game there, which like in baseball, that's kind of all you need. You rewatch the 9 innings and there we go. I think you can do most of it in like 20 minutes.
Too. Save yourself a lot of angst.
20-minute baseball game. That's
20 minutes. Three and a half minutes.
You're skipping the middle innings. You know?
I don't need to see
every inning. Show me the runs.
I don't need to see every inning. Made an out. That's like NASCAR races.
Yeah.
Watch the pit stops and the accidents. That's all you need to see. Nothing happens on the racetrack anymore except accidents.
Yeah.
Accidents take people out. Pit stops, guys are speeding. Then they got to go to the back of the field. That's it.
I always tune in for a good post-race fight. That's my go-to when I tap into NASCAR. And you get plenty of those.
Back in the day, though, when they were men.
Oh, here we go.
I don't even know what we got going on in NASCAR anymore.
I don't watch enough NASCAR. Yeah, well, that's I can't tell you.
I don't know. It looked like kids fighting each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no Sterling Marlin.
Give me a little Archie Bunker there, Yurko.
No, what I'm telling you is there's no
Goyles
Sterling.
Goyles with Goyles and men, woman.
There's no Sterling Marlins out there. You know, there's no Earnhardt Seniors out there, Ernie Irvins, Alan Kulwicki.
Yeah.
You know, none of those guys. Darrell Waltrip was never going to fight anybody. He's just going to cry at the pits about what Earnhardt did to him. You know, Bill Elliott wasn't going to do anything. He tried to do it on the track. He couldn't do it anyway, so it didn't make a difference. So, you know, but I'm saying back then, you know, when they were going to fight the Alabama game, Bobby Allison, Davey Allison, all the Allisons down there, Neil Bonnet. All those guys, them guys were fighting for real.
You throwing some hands.
Cale Yarborough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was real stuff happening.
Now you just get a lot of, it's like an NBA fight now.
Yeah.
A lot of people pushing and shoving. There's a grabbing every now and then. A
lot of Gen Zers.
Oh, that's talking. Tough. That's tough.
Talking. I can't. My feelings are hurt. I have to go to the side. I have to. I've been offended. Who cares?
Not interested. We do want to let you guys know Chicago Bears podcast brought
not
to
interested.
The Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes and they'll make your first car payment free. Also brought to you by Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, located 30 minutes from Soldier Field, I-80 94, exit 6. Yurko, you got a message for
us. That's right. Mitch Lyons Wealth. Mitch has jumped on board. You know what it's about. We've seen the stock market go up and down, up and down, up and down. Market correction. Anytime there's a 10% drop in the Dow, you got yourself a market correction. What's my guy Mitch Lyons say? MitchLyonsWealth.com. He wants to protect you from the ups and downs. He wants you to be able to be nice and calm and cool and collected when the Dow and the stock market's going all goofy. He wants you to have a plan for retirement, a game plan for retirement. That's what it's all about. MitchLyonsWealth.com. That's LYONS. MitchLyonsWealth.com for your game plan to retirement.
Hey, love it. Shout out to Mitch Lyons. Appreciate you jumping on. You guys played against each other a couple times. So
yeah,
always,
we have.
Always
yeah, we did.
Fun. Yes, always we did. Fun. Let me ask you this, Yurko. When you look at the Chicago Bears offseason with the upcoming draft here, question on the table. Did the Chicago Bears do enough this offseason to take chances in the draft? What I mean by that is the running back conversation has been very loud here early on. Ashton Gentry, I know me and you are both no running back that early, but maybe you take a chance on the special guy if he is that. Shamar Stewart is somebody who's been mocked to the Bears who, when you watch his tape on the field, he doesn't look all that impressive, but he's a workout warrior and he dominated the draft. Did the Bears do enough for you where you can take a chance and say, we're going to bet on the upside of this guy?
No.
He may not be a starter day one.
The answer is no. They haven't done enough. They've addressed some obvious weaknesses. You know what they've done on the defensive side of the ball is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got themselves a depth guy that can play multiple positions.
In Dial.
I think what they did was brought somebody legitimate in the middle. For Dexter maybe to take a look at. He's better than Billings. There's no question about that. But he's only going to be a rotation guy, Grady Jarrett. As is Billings, as is Dexter, as is Dio when he mixes it in the middle. So, no, they haven't done enough. I know last year they seemed very arrogant coming out of camp.
Yeah.
It's time to win. It was almost comical.
It's going to be hard to make this team, Yurko.
I mean, it was an absolute joke. And then you went and did what you did during the season to absolutely undermine and just capsize whatever
make it
the
even
general
worse.
Manager and the president of the organization was trying to present to you on the football follies or whatever they called it last year. Right. So it undermined them. Whatever they thought.
The football follies.
Yeah. Well, that's what it became.
That's what it turned into.
Hard Knocks became football follies. Yeah. So whatever that crap they were trying to do, get an Emmy or an Oscar, whatever the hell that was. That's over and that's finished. And hopefully it'll never come back to Chicago again. So they can go about the business of just playing football, winning football games. So hopefully with the coaches and everything, yeah, it'll be good. No, they still need a pass rusher opposite of Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
They addressed it but didn't. And it was always going to be a combination of free agency in the draft. So I don't mind if they get a running back somewhere in the first four picks that they have.
Yes.
So I don't mind if they end up getting a running back. I just – if Ashton Gentry drops to 10, drop back to 60. If Ashton Gentry drops back to 16, drop back to 20. Then if he drops to 20, then go ahead and take him at 20. But at that in that process, you'd be getting more draft choices.
Right. You're getting more
other stuff. They need depth everywhere. Depth at the linebacker position. They need depth at the defensive back position. Because you're always looking to get inexpensive somewhere.
Yeah.
When you're spending your money, you got to find a place to be inexpensive. And when you're spending money on veteran guys that have been in the league for a while, at some point you want to replace them with younger guys that are inexpensive. So I mean, that's always the challenge as a general manager. As you look at the board, you look at your depth chart, you look at where your money is allocated, defense, offense, special teams, you know. As you look at where all the allocations are, you're always looking to find younger, inexpensive talent to eventually replace some of the expensive talent that you have. That's just the way it works.
Would you rather see the Bears? Because there are some picks, I think, in this draft where
– I'd rather see the Bears take a left tackle. I'd rather see the Bears take an edge rusher. I'd rather see the Bears get some depth in the defensive backfield.
Right.
If they wanted to address a receiver with somebody they feel like they've liked in the sixth or fifth round.
Oh, Isaiah Bond, actually.
We know we won't be saying anything in the fourth round because for one reason or another, this guy loves giving his picks away for nothing. But that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you talk about upside, would you want to see the Bears go with the surefire? Because I think there's a couple in here, right? Kenneth Grant feels like he's the surefire. He's going to be fine in the middle.
But he's going to go at 20, 21, 22. You know, so you're at 10. So if you're gonna, if you say Kenneth Grant is the better of the Minnesota guys that you like,
Michigan guys.
Thank you. Then you got to drop back,
right?
Because he's not going that high,
right?
So if you like Grant, you got to get back. That's the way that works. If you like some other tackles, I think you have the flexibility to get back, and go.
There's depth in that market. Yeah,
drop back. Yeah, if for one reason or another, Abdul Carter. With his foot, and you feel good about his foot, and he starts to drop a little bit, which I don't think is going to happen. Maybe. Will Campbell. If he starts to drop a little bit, you want to jump up and get Will Campbell. Well, I've got no problem doing that.
You'd move up for Will Campbell.
I'd move up a couple positions. If he's dropping, Well, I'd be more than happy to move up.
I heard you and Waddle talking about Will Campbell. What is it about him? Because the arm length has been the big question. Oh, 33, 32, and 5/8. What is it about his game for you?
It's not a question for anybody, and it was never a question while I was playing. It's only a question when they started measuring it. And, you know, for them, if you see and he's the best player and he's a four-year starter and you take a look at everything that you see out there and you believe he's the best tackle in the league because of what your eyes have been telling you, then what's the problem? What's the problem? There is no problem.
I have none with him. He's a left tackle to me.
Why do scouts want to create problems? That's what scouts do.
So they didn't measure arm length when you came into the league for the combine?
They did hand size. They didn't really do arm length. I look back on all my papers that I had. It was never, you know, you either had them or you didn't. You either had long arms, you didn't have long arms. But again, he plays. What do offensive linemen play with? So, like, if you watch an offensive line drill with a guy that's maybe a little bit too overactive with everything, a little hyper, what they do is they put his hands behind his back, they take his helmet off, and they say, get to where you need to be. Get your feet where you need to be. Get your feet where you need to be. Don't press with your head. Don't get it involved in there. So it's your feet. You play offensive line with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
So look at a man's feet. When you can look at a guy's feet, you can see the way he can move. Adam Timmerman, 7th-round draft choice out of Yankton, South Dakota, I believe. South Dakota State. I don't know where he played. He was up there in South Dakota, and he came to us. And that his feet were fucking phenomenal. They were unbelievable. And played against him a couple times. He was he's like a young puppy. You get, he's too excitable. He's all over the place. He's doing too much.
Yeah.
So the thing, then the way they were going to make him a better player is by settling him down. I went and talked to Tom Lovato. And I said, listen, you got something here. I go, this kid can play. I go, but he's too fucking hyper. He's too active. He needs to simmer down. But he was excitable. He's fucking, you know, happy to be there. He wanted to play. You know,
he wanted to show that he could play.
He wanted to make sure that he could play. But the best way for him to play was to quiet down a little bit, just settle down a little bit. And when he settled down and didn't overcommit and didn't overreact and didn't overdo things, that's when he became a stud offensive lineman, not only for the Green Bay Packers. He took over for an injured Aaron Taylor. But he became, when Aaron Taylor blew his patella tendon out in his knee, he became a player for them and for the St. Louis Rams when the St. Louis Rams went and won the Super Bowl in 99, I believe it was, or 2000. So, you know, they weren't going to pay a guard up in Green Bay, even though they drafted him, they developed him. They weren't going to pay what he was going to get on the free agent market. So he went over to St. Louis and, you know, did what he did down there. But that's what he was. He had the feet.
He had the feet.
He had the feet. The feet will tell you everything you need to know about an offensive lineman. You got a guy that moves like a sloth, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have penalties. You know, if a guy can't get there with his feet, then it's always going to be some sort of issue for him. Now you got guys to get there with their feet and just get overpowered. So obviously you got to have the combination of feet. Then you got to have a combination of balance and level, which provides you the leverage that you're going to need to be able to block on the outside. So.
Is that one of the issues that has happened over the last couple of years? Because it seems like no matter the regime, we're false starting on the offensive line. We're jumping too early. We're getting out too quick. You think it's been
it's discipline.
They haven't had the feet to get to the spot quick enough, so they're trying to get there a little early?
It's discipline. That's all that is. It's discipline. You know, most of your false isn't that guy left a little bit early. He left not on the snap count.
Right.
You know, he missed the snap count. That's your problem. It's not that a guy's worried about getting out there. He's going against the stud. The problem is that the guy is worried about everything else except being able to get off on the sound that he needs to get off on. So, I mean, that's the problem there. The offensive line works in unison as five, sometimes six with the tight end. They work in unison. And they're probably mostly judged as a whole. And you're only as good as your worst lineman.
Yeah.
That's your problem with offensive lines. If you got one guy that's really dragging you down and you got no replacement for him, then that's where you're at. Doesn't matter if you've got four pretty good guys on, you got one guy dragging you down, that's where you're at. Him. Unfortunately, it's him that's going to bring the whole unit down. That's the way it is. That's why I'd rather have five above average players than two great ones and three guys that can't meet the standard, then that's when you're going to have a problem. Your offensive line's going to have a problem.
You're trying to overcompensate for
that. Well, and the holding penalties are the worst.
Yeah.
Holding penalties are the worst. So holding penalties are the worst because technique issues usually cause, and then you got a guy that just, you know, he doesn't want to work. He gets caught up. His footwork's poor. Then he's lunging, and then he's getting his head buried, and then all of a sudden he can't see anything that's happening around him. So, and then all of a sudden they're running stunts on him, and he can't see anything. So hopefully things get better for the Bears' offensive line with the guys.
Seems like. Brought in some good pieces.
Well, I think he's still needed. You're not going to pay Braxton Jones.
I would think
so
not.
So he's coming up to a point where you're going to have to decide whether you're going to pay him or not. So why not bring in a young tackle? You know, and take him. He can be a depth guy this year. Who cares? I don't care. But if Will Campbell falls to 10 and the Bears don't take him, then you're scratching your head going, okay, he doesn't know what he's doing. Ryan Poles doesn't know what he's doing. If Will Campbell drops to 10 and he doesn't take him, then you know that he doesn't know what he's doing.
What is it about Will Campbell's tape that stands out to you?
Well, I told you. His footwork.
What do the feet tell you that he's going to be able to do at the NFL level?
Well, he's going to be able to get to where he needs to be able to make blocks.
Yeah.
He's played against some of the best talent that has been in college football that is already in the NFL. So he's played against that talent. He knows what it is. He's not going to be overwhelmed once he gets to the NFL. He's a very confident individual in himself. So
I think the argument that we're starting to hear now, especially with NIL and everybody being able to buy players now, is SEC football is not where it once was.
Well, maybe not.
Do you think that is
an issue? But it's cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
It's cyclical. You know what I'm saying? Some guys don't want to go to Alabama because they got 25 guys there that, you're going to have to wait to start. Some guys want to be able to start and play early. That way, their third year, they can get out of the league. So it's always cyclical. Michigan was down. Michigan's up. Ohio State had a couple of years. Now they're back. It's always up and down, up and down, up and down waves when it comes to conferences. So, no, I don't worry
about that at all.
I don't worry about the talent in the SEC. There's talent in college football, and it's the Ryan Poles' job to go out there and his scouting staff to find out where that talent is.
Anybody else who stood out to you in this draft so far that you've taken a look at here?
No, I looked at Mahmoud, but you don't need him because he's a right tackle, whatever his name is, Mahmoud.
Membo? Yeah,
whatever his name is.
Like Mahmoud.
Tackle out of Missouri.
Membo.
You don't need a right tackle. You got a right tackle. So I looked at him. I watched Mason Graham a little bit. Mason Graham's not getting past Jacksonville, so don't worry about Mason Graham and what he is or what he isn't going to do. I would be taking, if I was the Bears, a look at other running backs, the kid from Iowa, the two kids from Ohio State.
Yep.
North Carolina's not going to fall into the second round. I think his name's Hampton.
Omarion Hampton.
Right. Yeah. He's not going to fall to the second round. So you're looking at those guys that are running back 4, running back 3, to running back 12, and finding out which one of those guys do you really like, who can do it all, who can run the ball, who's a little bit shifty, who's got some vision, who can catch the ball. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah. It's going to be – I think the thing that I want to see the Bears do in this draft is just come out with surefire players, especially on the line. Get answers on the trenches. And to me, if it is a – if it's a Kenneth Grant at 20, if you do trade back, I know Kenneth Grant's going to be able to play at this level. If it is a Mike Green, who I love, and I know there's some legal issues going on with him, that might be a – you're going – I know everything is going on. I'm not saying that what he's accused of should be ignored, but we know how the NFL is. If you can play, you can play. You're going to get a chance to play.
Well, the one thing they don't like anymore is murder. So that's what they don't like.
Anymore?
I mean, if you take a look at it, Larry Little killed somebody. He was drunk.
Yeah.
Somebody with a car. What was his suspension?
That's true.
So go back to the 90s.
That's true.
And let me ask you a question. So it's more into the 2000s where they cleaned their act up on that kind of stuff. And when that was involved, they would rather err on the side of caution and give you time to figure out and suspend you and say, hey, figure it out. Okay, when it all gets figured out, gets adjudicated, then you'd be welcome back if you didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
You're exonerated. So you're guilty before you're innocent you know, with the NFL.
And I think that is the wonder that with names like Mike Green and guys that come up like that is how is the court case this stuff going to
play out? And I don't know what Mike Green's accused of. I have no idea.
Some sexual misconduct on his name right now. And
so he didn't kill anybody.
He didn't kill anybody. Yeah. I think that's the part where it's going to be – he's a name that may fall in the draft that you can get later, and the talent to me speaks to early – first round draft. He's somebody who always.
Well, here's your problem. If they wouldn't draft Jalen Carter, what makes you think you're going to draft this guy?
Different regime, different coaches in the building.
Same owners.
You think that's where the line
same
is?
Same general manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see it.
That's why. That's it. That's simple.
They love their guys. You can take to church with them at Pallas Hall every night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They love their guys that you can hop in the
altar boys.
Little altar boy action.
They love the altar boys.
Let's see what the Bears end up doing in this draft overall. I think I've really got my eye on is does Ryan Poles take another chance at a punter? Yeah, we got another punter on the list.
No, he'll shock you.
Take another chance on a long snapper.
It wouldn't surprise me if he went kicker.
Take another chance on the kicker.
I would. Hey, why wouldn't he? You know,
6th round kicker.
Yeah, I just.
You're calling somebody. If you get a chance to look at somebody, have you watched the Omarion Hampton tape?
Yeah, North Carolina guy. Yeah.
Did you check out Willie Lampkin?
No.
Willie Lampkin? I need you to look into a Willie Lampkin, Yurko.
Who is he?
He is a 5'10", 270-pound offensive lineman.
5'10", 270.
Yurko moves people at unbelievable rate.
5'10", 270.
Yurko, I'm telling you right now.
Willie Lampkin.
This guy is moving people. It makes no sense.
I forgot what I watched yesterday.
But he gets the job done.
He's a center?
He is a right guard right now. Nice. And he probably will end up getting drafted. And he is right now my dark horse player of I just want to see what this
player
guy
does. Of
I just want to see what this guy does.
Who's the guy yesterday that was I think it was 6'4", 450-pound defensive lineman. They were doing a pro
464 pounds out of Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
He would be the heaviest NFL player ever.
64 with a 25-inch vertical jump.
Yes.
Yeah. Desmond Watson.
Desmond Watson.
Yeah.
Which would you rather have on your team?
6'5", 450.
Yurko, which would you rather have on your team? The 6'5", 460 guy. Or the 5'10", 270 guy. Both of these guys move people here.
Well, I mean, I'd have to see some footage. I mean, you got that big of a fella on your team. And I see him.
460. We're looking at him here. Oh, my God.
Number 21.
Hands, he gets home, too.
He's stiff-arming the guy.
Look at the backside on that guy.
He looks like Howard Ballard.
Hold on now.
Big fella.
I just love it. It's just
I don't know which one. I'd say whoever was the better player. And with that I'd want to look at the film.
They run to the right a lot. And it's usually through Willie's hole.
My dilemma with 5'10", 270.
Yeah.
And you can play with all the leverage you want. Yeah. Like if you had to block Gilbert Brown or those two biggins from Tennessee. Or if you had to block a Marcus Stroud or a John Henderson or the Philadelphia defensive line, at some point, it does become a limitation.
Yes.
You know, Darren Sproles could run a 4.5 40 and be as short as he wants and as small as he wants, but at the running back position, if you got that speed and he was a little bit stockier than most, he can get away with being that. There's certain positions, I don't know if you can get away with being that short.
Yeah.
That's all.
He's got the stockiness.
Quarterback. I don't think you're going to find a quarterback. Quarterbacks that are 5'10 have problems.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can be a defensive back at 5'10 and not have any issues. You can compete for balls that are up in the air with positioning.
Who's the biggest anomaly you ever saw where it's like the size didn't make sense for the talent that he had?
Size didn't make sense
like
for
the size
talent.
And weight. Like, he's like, he shouldn't be able to do that, but he's so good at it. Like, for me, Aaron Donald, how dominant he was in the middle. Sure. sure. with how small he was for what's normally at that position.
Not a surprise to me.
Not a surprise. Yeah, well, I wanted him.
I wanted him. And if you...
Kyler Gordon? No, not Kyler Gordon.
I spent time. Here's two guys I spent time with that were a similar ilk. Leroy Glover. Leroy Glover played... You know, he was in the World Football League. He was playing for somebody, you know, in the minor league.
In a minor league, yeah.
With the...
Their
Ohio Glory
then.
Or something crazy, you know, Barcelona Dragons. So Leroy Glover was a guy that was like that small, played the middle, was a nose tackle, and found a way to flourish. And the other guy was John Randall. John Randall wasn't a monster. John Randall was a little guy. And, you know, Randall played the three technique along Henry Thomas. And between the two of them, they dominated the NFC North for quite a while. It was Central first. And then it became the NFC North.
Yeah.
But those are two guys that are Aaron Donald-esque.
Yes.
But I thought Aaron Donald was a little thicker than both Leroy Glover and John Randall.
He was jacked.
No, I pointed him out to Carm. I pointed him out to Carm and I said, look at this dude. This guy can play. And he was playing against good players from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
When Pittsburgh played him. And that's why I like Chancey too. The kid from Tampa. Kalijah Kancey.
I haven't kept up with him.
He's all right. He got busted up his first year. Last year was his second year.
Yeah.
And you saw him make some plays. And then we'll see now. This is going to be his third year. He's used to the NFL. He's become accustomed to it. So we'll see how he plays.
I like a Kalijah Kancey. That was a pick I wanted the Bears to go after as well. Hey, always good to talk to you, good kid. Fun as always.
What do we got? 4 weeks? Four weeks left?
4 more weeks left till the draft. Almost there.
Excited.
And I need you to watch some footage on Willie Lampkin. And come in here and show us.
And the big fella, number 21.
show me Desmond Watson.
Every big guy like that that's been big
uh-huh.
has always benefited by dropping weight. Every single player
can go into the league and play
that's ever been that size.
Yeah.
Has always benefited by dropping weight.
Yeah.
If he can get to 350, he might be dangerous.
114-pound drop?
It's peanuts.
Ooh, peanuts.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. It's 20% drop.
Yeah.
You know, if I weigh 250 and I wanted to lose 20 pounds, it'd be 50 pounds to go down to 200. You're not asking a gazillion out of them. You know, I was 308. Mm-hmm. For me, if I got down to 248, that would be a 20% drop. It's not impossible. And you're not going to ask him to do it in 1 minute. You're going to ask him to do it over the course of time. He's going to be playing. He's going to be doing. But you're going to control his diet.
Yeah.
And he's not going to starve. He's going to eat. But you're going to control his diet. It's going to be a lot of proteins. A lot of proteins. Some salads.
Yeah.
But you're not going to starve him.
Are you telling me you don't think he's eating a salad?
No. I'm saying a salad would be good. But, I mean, I'm not going to stop him from not having two steaks if he wants to have two steaks.
Yeah.
You're not getting a baked potato.
Ah, no baked potato.
You're not getting sour cream. You're not getting butter.
Can you get a little gravy?
You're not getting that. There's no gravy.
No gravy.
No gravy at all. No. The best he can have is maybe a little Worcestershire sauce.
How do you spell that?
Along with stuff. I don't. Or as the one guy in the South says, who's your sister sauce?
Who's your sister sauce?
Right.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
He cooks up the gators and the frog legs.
Yes, he does.
Throw a little bit of that who's your sister sauce on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that guy. I know what you're talking about. Let us know in the comments below, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Desmond Watson, 464, 6 foot, 6'6"?
6'5".
6'5"? Or Willie Lampkin, 5'10", 270. Who do you think is going to be a better people mover? Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down, one love. We'll see you guys next week, unless any news breaks here over the weekend. Peace.